Welcome to the Spiritual and Psychological Benefits of African Vadun. This is today's episode of Envision This, connecting you to visionaries of a more resilient, equitable, earth-friendly future. Please feel free, if you're listening live at this time, to call in with any questions or comments that you might have. You would call number 646-652-2235. Our guest, Mami Wada, has a mission to educate those interested in authentic African Vadun. She helps to dispel the myths associated with it. And she assists folks in their own personal journey towards their service of the spirits. And she assists folks regardless of race, creed, color, sexual orientation, or gender. Mami studied traditional medicine and psychology in Africa and became a priestess there. And she's author of the book, Thy Name is Vadun. Understanding that traditional African priests are healers as well as spiritual leaders, and also aware that the conventional psychology was inadequate for the African American in some cases, she wanted to examine what had been lost to them as a people during the slave experience, so as to reintegrate these things for the spiritual and psychological healing of African Americans today. So we are really glad to welcome Mami Wada.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Mami, what does the term Vadun mean in both Africa and here in the States among the diaspora?
Well, the term Vodun actually means spirit in the Fon language. So for those who serve the spirits using this terminology, all African traditional spiritual systems, regardless of where they are, is considered Vodun. For example, we refer to the Orisha as Nigeria's Vodun or the Sangoma as South Africa's Vodun. In the diaspora, however, the term referred to as voodoo has become synonymous with juju, spells, love potions, magic, quick fixes, and what have you. But they have an idea that you can throw a few coins at a practitioner of the spirits and have miracles performed. So the original African Vodun has, as it came over during the slave era, has lost a little bit of its mystique or, its reality because of what has happened here in the diaspora as to what is associated with Vodun called voodoo.
What is the source in history of Vodun spirituality in relationship to the religions of the world?
Well, Vodun is one of the world's original traditional spiritual systems. It's about the spirits themselves. I always say that to religion, the spirits themselves is the least common denominator. And many of these spirits actually existed before the world was even formed. Therefore, it actually predates any of the so-called organized religions of the world, which is kind of a misnomer because African Vodun is very much organized. There are tenets and procedures to this spiritual system, but the world simply has not been privy to them. There's a lot of secrecy that surrounds African Vodun, and as such, many, quote, outsiders or people that are unaware or not part of the Vodun community are just not familiar with it.
How does the practice of Vodun connect you to your ancestors and the spirits that inhabit and guide you?
Well, in African Vodun, we use divination, authentic African divination, and that is a way that we are able to contact our ancestors and our personal spirits, and in so doing, we're able to seek their guidance and their help in areas of need.
What is the divination system of Ifa, and why do you stress it so greatly in your book, Thy Name is Bodun?
Well, Ifa, we call it Ifa in Nigeria, we call it Fa in Benin, and we call it Afa in Ghana. It's the same system, but it's the West African divination system, and it was put into place by the spirits themselves in order that we may be able to contact and consult with them when needed. It's a direct avenue to them, and that's why we use Ifa. And I talk about it a lot in my book because in the diaspora, people who are priests or priestesses, they tend to not use a divination system. They tend to, quote, intuit, they think, what is happening with a person. And sometimes, you know, the person is given things that are not good for them or spiritually effective for them. And in order for us to talk to the spirits, we need a way to communicate directly to them. And Ifa is that avenue in which we've been given from the spirits themselves. That is how we're able to find out what a person's spirits are. We're able to find who their ancestors are, their origins, where they come from, what their destiny is. All of these things are found through authentic African divination. And in the Americas, in the United States and in the diaspora, those people using tarot cards and various things, those are divination systems specific to various cultures, but they did not come with the system of Vodun. The spirits themselves gave that divination system for that. And so we cannot use tarot cards and various other systems of divinations for African Vodun. It just doesn't work.
Who does the divination? Who communicates with the Ifa?
It is the Ifa priest, or it is the priest or priestess. What happens in African Vodun is when a child is found or a person is found through the divination system to be a part of the priesthood or a Vodunsi or in some other capacity within the temple's walls, then what happens is when they're initiated or doing the initiation process, they're given the spirit of Fa or Ifa. That is the spirit itself, so that they are able to communicate. So they can communicate with their own personal Voduns or personal spirits on some level. But the highest in terms of the one that actually does the divination is the Ifa priesthood or someone from the Ifa priesthood or a priest or priestess that is doing divination for you. That's who does it.
This is an important question for me because I've thought about ancestry quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk about in what way do you mean to know your ancestors and spirits is to know yourself?
Well, you know, there's a saying, and I don't even know how old the saying is or where it came from. I just knew that it grew up with me. I grew up with this saying. But the saying is, who we are is who we were. And this refers to what we have inherited from those ancestors who have come before us. In African traditional society, for example, when a child is born and the divination is held, we ask the spirits, who is this that has come back? Because we know that many persons born are actually reincarnations of those who have lived long ago. But who we are is a combination of all those who have come before us. We represent the past, and the past is there for us. And that is why there's this connect. That's why I say to know your ancestors and spirits is to know yourself. Because each of the spirits that are part of your life, each spirit that is born to you, you take upon an archetype of that spirit. If you know a person's head spirit and you know something about that spirit, you can pretty much tell a little bit about the personality of that person. And that's why I say that thing, to know your ancestors and spirits is to know yourself, because that takes you to the fundamental of who you are, down to the root of who you are. And that's why that's so important.
Does honoring the ancestors involve communicating with loved ones that have passed?
Of course it does, of course. You know, how else would we know what the need of what they need of us unless we ask? This is not something that we can intuit, as I had mentioned earlier. Our ancestors have already passed over to the other side. So in Vodun, we communicate with them to seek their guidance, their advice, and instructions on what they need. In turn, they who see the past, present, and the future all at once help us to maneuver within our everyday lives. I always tell my friends, I said, if you have a loved one that is passed to the other side and they're already over there, can they not tell you what's going on over there if you have a way to communicate with them? And that's why it is so important to have divination, to talk to the other side, to talk to those loved ones. For instance, my grandfather passed away in 2012. He was 100 years old. And when he passed away, I think I wrote about this in one of my essays. I was at the hospital. I had slept there the whole night waiting for my grandfather because I knew that his time was close. And Biembeza, my husband, was actually in the bush somewhere in Ghana doing some work for the spirit. And the day when my grandfather closed his eyes, I picked up the phone while in the hospital, and I called Biembeza. I said, honey, you know, my grandfather has passed. He says, mommy, I know. He says, the spirit has told me to wait. And he waited, and my grandfather's spirit came and communicated the things that he needed. So that is why it's so important for us to be able to talk to those that have gone to the other side.
Thank you for that example, because it really does help clarify. How do the Voduns aid you in making the major decisions in your life? Decisions about...
We go right back to the divination process. Whenever, for instance, when I was told by the spirits that I had to come back to the United States, I was not happy about it. I had moved all my things. I was in Africa. I was, you know, I was sitting under palm trees, enjoying life, doing Vodun every day. I was just, you know, it was the pinnacle of heaven for me because I was in Africa. I found my ancestors. I was having a wonderful time. It was stressful. It was different. It was new. I was adjusting. But through the divination process, because I was going to the diviner every single day because I was nosy. I wanted to know what was going on. And they said, hey, you got to go back. You know, we've got something for you to do. You have to go back. And I was reluctant. I didn't want to go, but they said, we've got to go back. And in that obedience to the spirits, I got up and I came back. But they, in being able to talk to them and contact them through the authentic divination process, we are able to seek their guidance and their care because these spirits can see the past, the present, and the future all at once. And in so doing, they're able to see down the line what could happen. And so if they see a problem or a pitfall, they will tell you about it. And you can avoid that pitfall or do whatever it is that they ask you to do to avoid that pitfall. So that's why it's so important. And that's why divination is, in African Vodun, we do nothing without it. Because that is the way we communicate with the spirits. This is a spiritual system where the Voduns, the spirits themselves, are in charge, not us.
Yeah, as you were talking, I thought about, you know, in our culture, there's a big problem with alienation. And I've also, and this goes back to when I was a kid, that part of our issues with alienation and that sense of belonging is that we do not have contact with our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
Could you respond to that in terms of how it relates to the Voodoo?
Well, I think it goes back to what I was saying before. I have always known, you know, the people near me, you know, people close to me, those folks that have passed, you know, during my lifetime. I've known about them and I remembered them and all those things. But when I began to become a part of the Vodun, when I began to go back and talk to ancestors, old ones, it amazed me because I was able to figure out why. For instance, when I first went to the temple in Daome, which is Obome, where my old ancestors lived, the Agasu clan, I could not, of course, speak Fon, but I had translators with me. And when I did the various ceremonies to take upon my family beating, the name, and all those things, what happened is one of the elders set me down, and he began to tell the story through a translator about how that particular ancestor left Africa, was out there in the bush hunting, because these guys were hunters. The Agasu were hunters. This guy was out there. He was caught by the slaver, and he never came back. And that intrigued me because I'm like, wow, this is where it is. This is that part I've not found. I don't know about. I didn't know about. And so it began to open up a lot. I think for an African American especially, if you are a child or a product of the slave era or a child of a slave and your history has been cut off and you have no way of tracing it back because so many of us was bred, and so many families were broken up and all these things, it gives you a sense of belonging. You're not just out there floating by yourself. And that's not just with African Americans. That's with everybody. That's with everybody. We have people that come to Vodun. One young woman right now living in Australia, which is one of our spiritual children, we found her spiritual throne in Italy in a museum. This is what it's about. This is about a reconnection to that part of us, which is basically lost.
Tell us what you mean when you say found her spiritual throne.
Okay, no problem. When we did, this young lady is of European descent, living in Australia. We did the divination, and we found that her oldest ancestor is from the Bété tribe out of Côte d'Ivoire. We began to communicate with her ancestors and found out that she was heir to a spiritual throne, an ancestral throne that had left the Bété tribe, had been taken out of that place hundreds of years ago. The spirits sent Biambaza to Italy and showed him where that thing was, sitting in an exhibition in Italy. That's what I'm talking about. Even though she may be one of the furthest from removed from her African ancestry because she's of European descent, we were able to find her original African ancestor, which is from the Bété tribe out of Côte d'Ivoire, and she's heir to a spiritual throne sitting in an Italian museum. This is what I'm talking about.
Wow. You mentioned that in obedience you came back to the States, even though it was against, like, what you would have liked to have done. What happens if you do ignore the guidance and calling of the spirits and the Vodouns?
Well, it depends, because each person's destiny is different, and not everybody has the same mission in coming to this earth. So, we always have choice in whether we decide that we're going to accept, because we tell people when we do the divination, we will tell you everything, and then if you choose to continue, if you're to be initiated or whatever, that's your choice. But we do let people know that whatever choice you make, whether that is to proceed and go into the initiation chamber or not to proceed, there are consequences to those choices. We just don't know what they are. We have to ask the spirits. Sometimes they'll tell us, well, if this child doesn't do this, this thing might happen to this child. Or, the person is not supposed to go in the priest or priesthood, so, they can do whatever they're doing, or, we help them to be more successful in whatever they choose, whatever their endeavor is, be it making money, having a big business, whatever. We try to help them to be successful in whatever that destiny is. But if they choose to go one way or another, they just have to deal with the consequences, and we don't really know what those are until their own personal spirits tell us what they are.
Do you think that we all have a specific mission in life?
I think we do. I think we all are born to come here to do something, no matter how humble. It is all a part of the divine's master plan for their children, but It may or may not be in the service of the priesthood. It may just be in a good person, being a good parent, being a good, you know, anything. But it could be any number of things. But I think that everyone comes here for something. And everyone, when they come, most people want to leave their imprint on this earth or some type of legacy. So we all come for something, be it spiritual, be it not associated with something spiritual, but we all come here with some type of destiny, with something to actually do.
What's the role of priests and priestesses, diviners and servers of the spirits in voodoo?
Well, their role is to assist in our communication with the spirits. And as vessels of the spirits, they are to assist us in our spiritual growth. And we must understand that whatever we see in life on this physical plane, there is a spiritual component. We say in African Vodun that what is least in the heavens are to be least here on earth. So there is this spiritual plane as well as this physical plane. And usually when there is something wrong in our everyday lives, there is something wrong in our spiritual lives. And the way we work with that is we clean up that thing that is wrong in the spiritual realm to help repair what's going on in the physical realm.
I'm going to ask you about the one aspect of Vodun that probably causes me and many people the most difficulty. Why is animal sacrifice necessary in Vodun?
Because of the blood. It is the blood. I wrote an essay once, and I think it's in my book about the blood itself. It is the blood of the sacrifice that nourishes the spirits in order to enable them to do their work. That blood is what, it's like when I had knee surgery. I've had two knee replacements. It's like when I had knee surgery, and on one of those surgeries, I was low on blood. And when that blood was given to me, my whole body began to be reinvigorated. It's the blood. It's that animal sacrifice. And even when you see in Christendom and Christianity, they talk about the blood of the lamb. Even in the Jewish temples, they gave the blood of the lamb. Even the Muslims, believe it or not, you know, during Ramadan, I saw in Africa they were giving, they did the sacrifice at the end of Ramadan to feast. And I saw the blood of the sacrifice that they were using put into the ground. But it's all about the blood. That blood is what nourishes the spirits. People are not aware of that or haven't been aware of that, but that is why. There has to be a sacrifice. Now, there's blood sacrifice in Vodun, but also there is human sacrifice, meaning, and I'm not talking about I'm not talking about killing humans. I'm talking about the everyday sacrifice of the obedience, of sometimes maybe going places that you might not want to go or doing things that you might not rather not do because you've got to do something for the spirit, so you've got to help someone else. Because you are there to serve mankind. So there is a sacrifice there as well. And that sacrifice is daily. It's daily.
Certainly, the history of slavery, the diaspora cut people off from their families, from their ancestors, from their roots. But why is the history of the diaspora so damaging spiritually as well as socially?
Well, you know, for the African American, I think it's a bit obvious. You know, our ancestors came to these shores as slaves. They experienced all of the horrors of being enslaved. They were bred as cattle, discriminated against, lynched, families torn apart, initially unable to serve our African spirits. Our traditional languages were usurped due to non-use because we were not allowed to use them, nor our African names. Our dignity and everything else was taken away. So it's, you know, what more can I say? The social ramifications and the fallout has been tremendous on my people. So much spiritual knowledge has been lost. And this knowledge is not lost just to us, but to all who inhabit the diaspora. Within Africa's traditional spiritual system is contained the very mysteries of the universe. So in essence, this has been a loss to all of humankind. And that's really, really my belief. Vodun is not just for the African. Vodun is not just for the African American. Vodun is for all humankind, everybody.
We all came out of Africa, and
that's right.
All share the same roots and,
mm-hmm.
and history in a way. What is juju, and how do you protect yourself from it?
in the diaspora, juju, I guess, is talked about a lot. But actually, juju is harm brought to a person from the spiritual realm. It usually occurs when a person, because of maybe envy or jealousy or spite or revenge, they go to a spirit known that is known who can bring harm, and they pay that spirit whatever it requires to bring destruction or ill will upon another. So, you know, in the world, we have people that may beat somebody up or harm them or whatever physically. But vodun, juju, is something that comes directly from the spiritual realm. And because of it, anything can happen to a person. It depends on what spirit you go to sell that person to or whatever the case may be. But harm can come to you. You could lose your family, a child, or a parent, or an accident, anything, use your business, you know, go bankrupt. Any kind of harm can be brought to you through the spiritual realm. That's what juju is.
How do you protect yourself from it?
Well, it's the best way, I guess, is to always be in contact with your ancestors and your spirits, because if they see something coming up, they're going to, of course, tell you about it. But usually people come to us after harm has been done. And so what we do is we go to through the divination process, and we find out what this thing is, and the spirits tell us how to get rid of it. So if it's already on you, then it has to be taken off you. And it's not something we have found that conventional religion can deal with. If someone has been juju has been put on them through the avenue of bad spirits, you have to go back to those spirits to buy that juju off. That's what you have to do. You can't go sit in church and say two or three Hail Marys and think this is going to jump off you. It doesn't happen like that.
Why is use of the spirits, these dark spirits, antithetical to or such a opposition to true vodun?
Because vodun itself is not sorcery. The two are different. Vodun is something that is used to help humankind, where juju is specific ceremonies performed to bring harm against someone. And that's not vodun. Now, sometimes in vodun, if someone has done something damaging, spirits may punish someone for the bad acts. But juju itself is to deliberately go out there and harm someone. And the reason why it's so different, something that people don't often understand, that if you say, for instance, go to a vodun like Hevioso, which people like to go to and buy services from, if you go to Hevioso, which is, you know, you go to Hevioso and you say, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, that vodun, if the person is innocent, if the person hasn't done anything, if the person is found blameless, the vodun will actually refuse to harm the person. This happened to me when I was in Africa. Someone had, the spirits told me that someone had tried to buy harm for me, and the vodun, Hevioso, did not want to do it because they said this child is blameless. And not only that, my mother's head spirit happened to be a child of Hevioso, so I was protected on two counts. I was actually blameless. I was innocent. I had done nothing to the individual who wanted to harm me, and my mother was there protecting me.
What the service has of the Christian missionaries done in Africa?
Well, I think the largest thing that happened with the missionaries is that they made the mistake in thinking that the African was a heathen and he did not know God. And as a result, they made some grave mistakes that have cost the very souls of many Africans. Not only did they misunderstand that the African had a firm understanding of the spirits beyond anything that they ever could have fathomed, but in their spiritual ignorance, they actively led many Africans away from the serving of their ancestors and spirits, that is, those gods that were born to them and which live within them and all of humankind. I think one of the largest things is that the missionaries simply didn't.
Excuse me, you're breaking up. Can you speak more clearly into the phone or
your... Did we lose her?
Hello?
Did we lose you?
We lost her.
Yeah, I think we lost you. If you can hear us, I'm going to shut down your mic. Please call in again.
There she is.
Hello again.
Okay.
We lost you somehow.
Sorry. I heard you guys, but you didn't hear me.
Yeah,
right.
I'm not right.
Yeah, somehow you.
Yeah,
you
all
started
of a sudden,
stuttering.
All
then,
of a sudden, your voice started breaking up a lot, and then we couldn't hear you at all. So.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You were talking about the disservice that to Christian missionaries who didn't understand African spirituality.
Yeah, I was saying that the mistake that they made is that they thought that the African was a heathen and did not know God. And as a result, there were a lot of grave mistakes made that cost the very souls of many of Africans. And not only did they misunderstand that the African had a firm understanding of the spirits beyond anything that they could ever fathom, but in their spiritual ignorance, they actively led many Africans away from serving of their ancestors and spirits. And these are the spirits that they were born with, these Africans were born with, and which live within them and in all of humankind. And that has been, to me, one of the major problems with the missionaries. When I was in Africa, we had a young group of missionaries come in. It was called, I think, Adopt a Village Group. And they were African Americans. And I tried to talk to them and say, okay, when you guys go into these villages, could you please try to understand a little bit about the culture? I mean, I wasn't trying to stop them from their work, but I appealed to them to please try to understand a little bit about the culture of the people and that they actually have a relationship with the spirits. It's just one that they were not familiar with.
Mm. We have a caller who has a question or comment. Caller,
you guys,
area code 862, would you identify yourself, please?
Hello, how you doing? I have two quick questions, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the first one is about generational curses. Can the initiation process in itself remove it? And or once you've gotten that initiation, I know it's kind of general, but how long do you usually take to get away to get rid of a generational curse? Let's say it's about six generations back, something heavy.
Well, once you go into the divination process, what happens is that whole thing will come up. And whatever started that will come up. For instance, in a case that I talked about before where the young lady's stool was taken out of the village, that caused a blight on the entire family that extends all the way up till today. And the Vodouns told us that in order for these things to clear up, she had to go and get that throne back so that everything that has been happening to her since that throne was taken out of the village will be repaired. So when you go through the divination process and they see that there's a generational curse, what they do is they go back to the beginning of that thing and find out what was the root, what was the cause, and the Vodouns will give you an answer or give you instructions on what to do to clean that up. And whatever time it takes to do that particular ceremony, the thing is over.
Oh, okay. Yes, quick. And and I have another question. I've talked to Africans before. You know, I'm African-American, of course. And I've heard that the things you can go to Africa for, let's say if you want to be bulletproof, you know, you have to take special baths where a bullet couldn't penetrate you or a stab wound. Or you can get some kind of animal power to where they can graft the energy or the spirit of a particular animal, and you can fight like the animal, let's say like a snake. I remember a guy from Chad was telling me about that. Let's say if you wanted to wrestle or something, you would be like slick like a python, would be able to have the, you know what I mean, you know, have the power of that. And is that within... Is that a sorcery thing, or those type of things that a priest can do within Orthodox Vodun?
Okay, let's go back and let me try to explain. You're talking about two things here that I can try to explain to you. In Africa, you have various different clans or cultural groups, and each of these clans are proficient in something. You know, it could be the healing of bones, it could be the making of talisman, it can be healing, it could be various things. So depending on what your ancestry might be, there may already be something inside of that family that only you would be privy to help you to protect yourself from enemies or to give you specific powers, okay?
Okay.
Now, also, there are these things that can happen in African Vodun, and with the, of course, with the... with the Vodun saying that you can do it, you've got to get their approval, depending on what it is that they may want, to give you these special powers if they exist. So you can do it either through your ancestry or you can and see what they have going on, because each ancestral clan has specific things that are only there for that particular clan, and they're secret to everybody else. But once you go into the clan, you will know, because in some cultural groups, there are specific languages that they only speak inside of the temple that no one has privy to, or ceremonies that no one has privy to, or voduns that no one have privy to. That's why I always tell people, go back first to your ancestors, see what they got going on, because they have some things in there that nobody else has. And if you want to go the other route that you asked me about, there are specific priests with specific know-how to give you what you want. However, the Voduns have to agree that you can have those things, because if you are a person that's not pure in heart, they're not going to give you powers and you're going to go out here and act a fool, okay? Your neighbor. They're going to give you something that you can use to edify yourself and to edify others. They're not going to give you something you go out here and start knocking folks down. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right. I don't blame them. Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying.
So did I answer your question?
Yeah, you more than that. I mean, I can have a ton of questions, you know, but I know there's other people that want to call. I mean, but they would have to trust that priest first. Let's say if you had a particular ancestor and they wanted to let you know what kind of power they had, you know, because of, you know, from a certain clan.
But you're not going to know that right away, because what happened is when you go and find the ancestor, even though there are short ceremonies, you still have to do small ceremonies for your ancestral clan. If you look at my Facebook page, you'll see that I'm in a temple. That's the Agassu Temple. And I was in that temple doing ceremonies when they put the ancestral beading around my neck. Now, only when you go through that process will they begin to sit down and tell you and you learn the secrets of that particular clan.
Mm.
So it just doesn't – they don't just start telling you stuff. You've got to be – inside, you've got to have hooked into them. And that's when you begin to learn what's specific to your particular group of people and your clan.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to know, because, well, I guess I just have to go through that. And if maybe this is it's probably too soon to say, but what would you have to do in order to start the process of wanting to be initiated, getting, you know, like after your, I understand you have some kind of reading to where you can go back to your ancestry and find
out.
Well,
you have to do the divination process, and I really do have a lot of that, you know, written in my essays and in the book. But you start out, of course, with the divination process because you need to find out, first of all, if you were born to the priesthood. Not everybody is born to the priesthood. Not everybody is born to be a priest. Some people are just born to serve the Vodun in their own humble manner, get a good job, have a lovely family, and possibly some children will come through them that end up being in the priesthood. So we have to find out first who and what you are in the spiritual realm before we can proceed to anything.
Oh, okay.
You see?
All right. So you're going to be in Raleigh for the foreseeable future, right?
I live here.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Okay, well, thanks a lot for the information. I appreciate it. I'll be
more
contacting
than welcome,
you in the future.
Sir. More than
thanks
welcome.
Thanks for the call. We have another caller from area code 347. Caller, would you identify yourself, please?
Yes, how are you doing? This is Joseph.
Hi, Joseph.
Is this Joseph Fisher Bay?
Yes, it is. How are you doing, Mommy?
Hey, sweetie.
Mom and son, is that right?
No. Oh, no. Let me shut up.
That's her name.
Okay.
Yeah, one of your essays that you had on Facebook a while ago, talked about, I think it was the Clintons, and how they had a particular hooligan that they visited in Haiti before
he
became...
Yes, Max Beauvoir.
Yes. I just recently saw in the paper, I think, that he passed away.
Yes.
Yes. Could you touch on that and why they actually visited him?
Sweetheart, I don't really know. I don't know. I had always wondered because I know that they have this affinity to Haiti. And a lot of people go to Haiti because they are very curious, not just because of the people and the culture, but, you know, what Vodun is about. So I found that article that stated that when they had visited Haiti, they actually visited Max Beauvoir. And Max Beauvoir at that time was considered the supreme chief of Vodou in Haiti. And what I appreciated about Max Beauvoir is he really did align himself and put in place those things that he saw in Benin. He was very respectful of the supreme chief of Vodun, Dagbokuno, and he appeared to, you know, align himself with traditional African Vodun. But I really don't know why or how the Clintons went there. I just know that I found that article and I put it up because I was curious.
Okay. Because the reason why I ask, because it seems like there's a lot of people around the world who secretly, like I say, use African services.
Oh, yes. I mean, the African presidents and African world leaders, every single one of them is dealing with a priest. Every one. To stay in power, when they get thrown out of power, how to get back in power, you know, all these types of things. They come to the temple all the time. All the time. Every time there's somebody trying to get elected for something in Africa, they head on to the temple.
Because I was always told also that you have a lot of, how can I say, a lot of Christian priests in Africa who also go to a voodoo priest to get power.
And I ain't figured that one out yet. I'm still trying to figure out what's up with those guys over there in Ghana coming to the UNO, coming to the voodoo priest, telling them to hook them up to get their church running right. I'm the wrong person for them to be talking to. I'm the wrong person. How you needing Vodun to get your church right, home slice? I said, if it needs to be Vodun to get your church right, then maybe you're in the wrong religion, don't you think?
One last question. I want to know, what do you think the average person can benefit from by practicing Vodun?
You know, when you can have someone that can see the past, present, and the future guiding you, and I'm not saying it's going to be an easy road, because for those who serve the spirits in any spiritual system, whether it's Christianity, whatever it is, it's a hard road for those that are serving the spirits and serving humankind, because it's you have to love what you're doing. You have to sacrifice, and it's not about the money. It's only that you have a mission to complete, and you have to do your best. But it serves in that you can help humankind, and you can be of service to mankind. And what you get out of this is the glory and the love of knowing that you've helped. And also at the end of this, I'm looking to sit, my eyes close, I'm looking to sit on that spiritual throne that I know that's dripping in gold. That's what I'm after, you know.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sweetie, you have a good day.
Okay, you too.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling, Joseph. Mommy, why do you feel that those who feel called to study in Africa rather than in Haiti or South America?
Well, it's because Africa is where all things began. Humankind's ancestors and the world's traditional spiritual systems actually originated from there. And if one wants to know Vodun in its purity and have the full force of the ancestors and the divinities themselves, one must begin there. What originally came to the diaspora has been hampered by the transatlantic slave trade, with much of its knowledge being lost. So until we really have here in the diaspora authentic and ordained spiritual temples from people that were trained in Africa to do the things, I think, that go back to the origins of Vodun, then I think for a while at least, we need to go there. We need to take what we learned from there and bring it here to implant it properly. Because when the slaves came over, they were denied the opportunity to serve their African spirituality. And as such, by them pushing it underground, a lot of the knowledge has really been severely lost. Because in the diaspora, many of the people that serve Haitian Vodou, they do not do authentic African divination. They have to intuit. And you can only, even though you have these so-called spiritual gifts, you can only intuit so much.
In what way do you believe Vodou... I'm sorry, something just popped up in front of me.
Okay.
must change in the near future. I'm sorry.
Okay, that Vodun itself needs to change?
In what way do you believe Vodun must change in the near future?
Well, that's kind of strange because I really don't believe, I'm a traditionalist, and it is not my belief that Vodun must change in any way. There is absolutely no reason for it to change. The spirits are timeless as well as divine and perfect, and it's up to them what is to change, if anything. It's not up to us. We need to learn and to understand these teachings, but I personally, as a traditionalist, do not believe that there should be any changes in Vodun. It's just how we view Vodun and how we work with the Voduns.
I was going to say, what changes need to be made here in the States and among the diaspora in terms of the way it's practiced?
I think we need to try to, and I've talked about this a lot in my writings, we need to put back in, first of all, discover those things that were lost, the knowledge, and we need to put those things back in. And I think we need to start with authentic African divination, because without divination, we do not know what the spirits want of us. And see, one of the things that people don't understand is when we do divination and we go to the spirits, we're actually calling your own personal spirits. We're not just talking to some spirits just out there in the cosmos. We are calling your own specific personal spirits that came down with you in birth. We are talking to your own personal ancestors, and we are discussing with them your life, you know, because they know you better than anything. So that's why divination is so important. I think once we begin, what we need to do in Vodun, in the diaspora, is to put back, first of all, authentic African divination, that we will find out who and what these people are in the spiritual realm, and then we can go from there. And that knowledge that has been lost will come back, because the spirits themselves will tell us what that is.
In what way is true spirituality the only way to counterbalance racism and the world injustices of man's humanity, inhumanity to man?
I think we must begin to not simply see people on the surface, but realize that we are all spirits under the skin. And if we are able to get beyond the man-made prejudices of the world, race, color, creed, gender, political agenda, and what have you, we can begin to have peace among ourselves. We have to get rid of that stuff that we put here, all those prejudices. When we began to see people as something, I do this little thing with myself. When I used to visit my granddad before he passed away in the nursing home, when I would walk into the nursing home, I would see people sitting in chairs, a lot of them seemingly not, you know, knowing that I exist or there or whatever, some trying, you know, people that are in wheelchairs and various things when I walked into that nursing home. And when I walked in, I told myself, I said, Mommy, what you've got to do is speak to these people, greet these people, see beyond what you're seeing in that wheelchair, because inside of that person is a spirit looking out at you, and that spirit is vibrant. That spirit is holy and divine. So you speak to that person, even though that person is sitting in a wheelchair, even though he may look infirm, even though he may be drooling at the mouth, you speak and you acknowledge that he exists or she exists. And I do that with everybody I meet. I try to look past, in the only way I know how, past what I'm seeing, past the color, the creed, the whatever the case may be. And I try to look beyond as best as I know how and greet that person and treat them as somebody.
Am I right in thinking that you are one of the only African-trained and ordained priestesses here in this country?
Authentically trained as a Mami Wata priestess? Yes. I'm the only one. There are others that make the claim, but remember, I'm married to the Supreme Chief of Mami. And so we know who is who and who's not who. I am the first that is initiated in African Vodun and living in the United States.
Do you believe there are plans for more to follow and for there to be more temples here?
Oh, of course. I have spiritual children right here in the United States. We are working with people right now that are preparing for initiations, and they will come right after me. I have plenty of spiritual children here, people that we've done their divinations. We know what their destiny is. We're working with them to get toward that. I will not be alone, but at least we will know who's authentic and who is not. And they will do things according to what the spirits say they are to do, as opposed to folks going over to Africa, staying for a hot minute, coming back and saying they are the grand poopa of the poopa, when in actuality they've done nothing.
There are always pretenders right there.
I'm telling you.
I believe it. What else would you like to tell us about your experience as a priestess here and your experience in training in Africa?
Oh, okay. Well, I went to Africa. I think my story is pretty much in my book. I went to Africa in 1997 in South Africa, and I was told by a Sangoma, go to Benin, and I ended up in Benin doing some research, and I was told that my visit was planned, and, you know, the rest is history. I was there for 8 years in and out of African temples. Since I've been back in the States, since I was sent back here, I have continued to do Vodun, kind of long distance, with Biambaza, my husband, doing a lot of the ceremonies for me. And I have spent a lot of time writing and trying to educate people to what authentic African Vodun is, and to express to them or let them know that it's not something evil or bad, and it's not out to harm, but out to do good. And that it is not just for African Americans, those of African descent, that it is for all of humankind. So I have had extensive training, and a lot of what I know comes from my dealing every single day with the Vodun, with the spirits. And I basically follow them and I obey them and everything that they tell me to do. Sometimes I be screaming and hollering and saying I don't want to do it, but I do it anyway and I continue on. So I'm very blessed in that when I went to Africa, I really did run into the creme de la creme, I'd say, of the Vodun community. I ran into the Supreme Chief of Vodun. I was in that temple for a period of years, and I have been initiated and trained in some of the best temples, well-known temples in Africa, and married to, you know, one of the, a priest who is considered a national treasure. So I'm very blessed, and I'm very thankful for all my experiences.
This is wonderful. You've written a book about it all. My name is Vodun. Tell us about the book and about how listeners could obtain the book.
Thy Name is Vodun actually started out, a few of my Facebook friends, they kept saying, oh, mommy, write a book, write a book, write a book. I'm not one of them people, I'm a little bit lazy, I write, but I didn't think I could actually do a book. And so I got the idea from my wonderful Facebook friends to actually put together the essays, because I had been writing actually since 2009. I had been writing on the internet for a very long time, and so I began to collect these essays that I had written within the last year and a half on Facebook. So we put it together, and a young man, La, we call La, from Water Oracle Publishing, he was able to put it together for me, and he sort of put it out there. So it's a compilation of some of my essays from 2013 to the end of 2014, and it's sort of a hodgepodge of essays talking about various topics in African Vodun. And you can get that book if you go to www.thynameisvodun.com.
Okay, and Vodun is spelled V-O-D-U-N.
Yes, so I spell it V-O-D-U-N, but many people spell it different things, but it's V-O-D-U-N, thynameisvodun.com. Or you can just jump on Amazon, or you can just basically Google it, and it'll just jump right up at you.
Okay, now you're also presently conducting a charity drive.
Yes, we're doing a charity drive for wonderful, wonderful children in Benin, these orphans. Last year we had about 500 orphans that came, and on my Facebook page, if people go to it, you will find the site where you can click on and you can donate to these children, and I also put up a small video of them last year. And orphans are very, children in general are very special to my heart. And these, you have to understand that in Africa, there are no social services, there are no agencies that people can go to, like in the United States when they are poor. These are orphans. Many of them have lost their families through all sorts of different things, different ways. So we try to help them. We try to give them school supplies and various things. So if you go to my website, I mean my go to my Facebook page, you can actually find it. It's I think it's called www.indiegogo.com, and look under projects / 500 orphans need school supplies and holiday cheers. It's, you can find it on my Facebook page.
Great. What else would you like our listeners to know in the last minute that we have before we have to just say thank you and
Well, I think there is a question that folks ask about in terms of who is Mami Water. And Mami Water is a pantheon of diverse water spirits. And inside this pantheon sits the kings of all of the spirits. They come from various bodies of water, be it in the sea, tributaries, lakes, streams, or wells. And there are countless spirits in the pantheon of Mami Water. I was born under the pantheon of Mami Water, and I basically am called Mami. Not so much because of Amanda Mamiwata, but because in Africa that name is one that is given to elder women of respect. And so I did not adopt her name. I was born into the pantheon of Mami, but I am called Mami, and that's what the spirits have said that I'm to be called in the interim until I start using the name, the personal name of my own head spirit, which is Adatatria.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for all of this information and for your willingness to share with all of humanity this this history and spiritual sisterhood and brotherhood that we have.
Yes, this
it is my absolute pleasure. It's my absolute pleasure.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this interview. It's been very educational for me. Thank you for the work you're doing.
Well, you're more than welcome. And anytime you guys want to talk to me again, just give me a holler.
Okay. And many, many blessings on your work.
Okay. You too, sweetie. And you all have a good afternoon.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sophia, dreams and stuff, was actually one of my ancestors.
Interesting.
I've wondered that at times. Yes, she has. Well,